Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 1, The Advent of Lord Krishna, The Introduction, Text 39. Dehe pancha tvam apane. Dehi karma nugo vascha. Dehantaram anuprapya. Prasaktam tyajite vapu. Dehe. When the body. Panchatvam. Apane. Turns into five elements. Dehi. The proprietor of the body, the living being. Karma anugraha. Following the reaction to his own fruit of activities. Avasha. Spontaneously. Automatically. Deha antaram. Another body. Made of the material elements. Anuprapya. Receiving as a result. Praktanam. The former. Yajite, gives up. Vapu, the body. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. When the present body turns to dust, and is again reduced to five elements, earth, water, fire, air, and ether, the proprietor of the body, the living being, automatically receives another body of material elements according to his fruit of activities. When the next body is obtained, he gives up the present body. Purport. This confirms the Bhagavad Gita, which presents the beginning of spiritual understanding. Deno smingita dehe komaram yovanam jara tathadahantara praptir diryas tatra namuyati. As the embodied soul continually passes in this body, from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul simply passes into another body at death. The self-realized soul is not bewildered by such a change. Bhagavad Gita 2:13. Person or an animal is not the material body. Rather, the material body is a covering of the living being. Bhagavad Gita compares the body to a dress and elaborately explains how one changes dresses one after another. The same Vedic knowledge is confirmed here. The living being, the soul, is constantly changing bodies one after another. Even in the present life, the body changes from childhood to boyhood, from boyhood to youth, and from youth to old age. Similarly, when the body is too old to continue, the living being gives up this body by the laws of nature, automatically gets another body, according to his fruit of activities, desires, and ambitions. The laws of nature control this sequence. Therefore, as long as the living entity is under the control of the external material energy, the process of bodily change takes place automatically, according to one's fruit of activities. Vasudeva therefore wanted to impress upon Kamsa that if he committed the sinful act of killing a woman, his next life he would certainly get a material body, still more conditioned to the sufferings of material existence. Thus Vasudeva advised Kamsa not to commit sinful activities. One who commits sinful activities because of ignorance, tamoguna, attains a lower body. Karna guna sangosya. Syad Asad Dionishyan Masu. Bhagavad Gita 13:22. There are hundreds and thousands of different species of life. Why are there higher and lower bodies? One receives these bodies according to the contaminations of material nature. If in this life one is contaminated by the mode of ignorance and sinful activities, diskriti, in the next life, by the laws of nature, he will certainly get a body full of suffering. The laws of nature are not subservient to the whimsical desires of the conditioned soul. Our endeavor, therefore, should be to associate always with sattva-guna and not indulge in rajaguna or tamaguna. Rajas, tama, tamo, bhavaha. Lusty desires and greed keep the living entity perpetually in ignorance, prevent him from being elevated to the platform of sattva-guna or shuddha-sattva-guna. One's advice to be situated in shuddha-sattva-guna, devotional service. Thus, one is immune to the reactions of the three modes of material nature. So the text again. Dehe panchatvam apane dehi karmanugo vashaha yahantara anuprapya praktanam tyajite vapu. When the present body turns to dust and is again reduced to five elements, earth, water, fire, air, and ether, the proprietor of the body, the living being, automatically receives another body of material elements according to his fruit activities. Thus, when the next body is obtained, he gives up the present body. How we've gotten this body and how we'll get another body is explained here. Generally, the conditioned soul, he doesn't think about how he got his body, nor does he think about what kind of body he's going to get in the next lifetime. Nor does he look at other bodies and think about how they got their body. Here from Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Ukramantamapi bunjana vagunandita vimudo nandapashanti pashanti jnana chakshusha ukramantam sitin vapi. The foolish, they cannot understand how the living entity quits his body or what kind of body he enjoys under the spell of the modes of nature. But those whose eyes are trained with knowledge can see all this clearly. So this is called perspective. We're supposed to train our eyes so that when we look around, we see with knowledge. Knowledge means, in one sense, it's common sense that this body is alive because we're within it. It's like we see other bodies. When there's a soul in the body appears to be alive. And when the soul leaves the body, then we say it's dead. Same body, sometimes it appears to be alive, and sometimes we say it's dead. So what is the missing factor? Not only the human body, but every body. Even a little ant, it moves around very quickly, but if you step on it, it slows down quite a bit. So what's the difference? Why did it slow down? Why doesn't it move anymore? Same body's there, a little squash perhaps. But why doesn't it move? Because there's no more soul inside the body. So similarly, when the soul leaves this body, it stops moving because the soul leaves the body. Same body, but soul is not there anymore. So this is just common sense. Just like, what is the difference between a human body and an animal body? The animal's eating, sleeping, mating, defending. And the human form of life, people are eating, sleeping, mating, defending. We may say, well, the animal's less intelligent. But there's a lot of people who are less intelligent, too. Or you can take a little baby. Does that mean that the baby's not alive because it doesn't have so much intelligence? Sometimes the animals have more intelligence than the baby does. Does that mean that the animals are more alive than the baby is? Because due to the spell of the mode of ignorance, people think like that. Because they have no knowledge. They can't even see, they have no common sense. As it said that in Kali Yuga, common sense is very uncommon. If you even understand things simply, it's very difficult for people. There's nothing there upstairs to help them understand these things. But Bhagavatam explains the same thing in different perspectives so that gradually we can come to accept it. That's called conviction. We can actually believe it, that this is real. It's not something that was made up. And if it's real, And then the mechanism by which we're taking one body and then changing it to take another, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, sharira yadavapnoti yatschapyukramatishraha krihi vaitani samyati vayorganda ivashya. The living entities carry their different conceptions of life from one body to another, like the air carries aroma. Thus they take one kind of body and quit it to take another. So according to our desires and our conceptions at the time of leaving this body, we're carried to another body, which is suitable for the conceptions and the desires that we have. Krishna is arranging that through the Supersoul to transport it to another body, and he arranges the next body for us according to what we deserve and what we desire. And as Prabhupada points out, in this lifetime, the body is changing. Along with that, our desires and our conceptions are changing. Hopefully we don't have exactly the same conception and desires we had when we were 3 years old. We may have to wait till we're 95 to get those back again. But in any case, when we change our body, as the body changes, then naturally different desires arise within our minds through the different circumstances that our body finds itself under. But the soul is the same. He's the one who's experiencing those desires, and he dovetails his desires with those desires. The desires may be material, but the soul, he desires to fulfill those desires, and therefore he becomes implicated in the material existence. It's not that he develops material desires, because the soul is spiritual, but he becomes desirous of fulfilling material desires, and therefore Krishna makes different arrangements for him under this material, by the arrangements of the material energy. But one should be a little bit fearful. Just like the example is given of Bharat Maharaj. Bharat Maharaj was a great emperor of the world. We can't even imagine what the world was like then. He was the emperor. It's impossible. Understand the greatness of even the world that Bharat Maharaj was living in. And yet he gave up everything because of his highly advanced Krishna consciousness. And he went to the forest where he concentrated strictly on his sadhana and Krishna consciousness. But when he saw a deer calf in trouble, he became compassionate. And by trying to take care of a deer calf in the forest, his devotional service became, his sadhana became slackened, and eventually when he left his body, he thought of the deer calf and took the body of a deer. So this is for our instruction that we should be a little fearful. People don't really, they're not fearful of taking another body. Now, of course, we said you take birth as a dog in someone's house. You think, well, that's not so bad. They'll take care of me. They'll kiss me. They'll love me. But if we say you're going to take birth as a spider in that house, and you're going to eat flies for the rest of your life, we may change our opinion and how nice it would be to get another body. But there are so many spiders, and there are certainly so many ants. So they were not very careful or fearful of what their next body was, and therefore that's what they got. They got what they deserved and what they desired, and it wasn't what they expected. No one expects to take birth as an ant in the next lifetime. And one who takes birth as an ant, he never complains. He doesn't have enough intelligence. He doesn't know what happened. He's just there in that ant body, or the moth body, or the snake body. He was envious. He wanted to have an easy life. Just sit around all day long and be envious. So he got the body of a snake. But it's not a very desirable body. There's not very much happiness in sleeping all day and eating a mouse once in a while. It's not high class food. Nora, what is the snake going to dream about? A mouse will come by and they'll eat it. Not exactly the most highly elevated imagination either. But that's the danger. That's the possibility of winding up in that state of consciousness. If one is not careful, then one may gradually slide down to the lower species of life. It doesn't happen all at once. We're not going to one day leave our body and come back as a snake because we forgot to chant our rounds that day. That is a gradual degradation of consciousness that happens after some time. But if one is going down, we can see, then one really goes down, especially in Kali Yuga. Children are born fairly innocent, and very rapidly they become very degraded by bad association. And when one gets bad association, then one doesn't really care. One doesn't know anything else except for bad association. That's the nature of Maya. Kamadinam katida katidas falitas durni deshas deshamayi jata nakruna na pushanti. Maya doesn't tell us that you're doing something wrong. No, she encourages us. You're doing exactly the right thing. You're just not doing it hard enough, that's all. You should do it more. And there's no end to Maya. Maya doesn't say, take a break. You've been working so hard to serve your senses. Just take a week off. No, Maya says, work harder. Get more sense gratification. That's what you need. Scratch the itch even more, harder, harder. And don't be embarrassed. Be proud of how lowly you are. Of how much you try to gratify your senses, even at the cost of the lives and the welfare of other living entities. Be proud of it, because you're on top. You're alive and they're somewhere else. So you're good and they're bad. So Maya will give us so many excuses, so many ideas, but then Krishna says that Urva Malai Dakshakam Ashvatam Prahu Arvyam. Vedamsi yasya parnani yastvam veda saveda ved. Urvam gachati satvasta madhe tishtiti rajasa daganya gunavritista do gachati tamasa. That if we act in goodness, we regulate our activities according to Shastra, if we try to become conscious, that's hard, try to become conscious. We're so used to just being supplied our minds, or supplying to us, and we're just fulfilling them. Whatever our mind says, that we just feel we should fulfill it. It's easy. We don't have to think. We don't have to use our intelligence. Just merrily, 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 merrily. Life is but a dream. Just flow with the mind. But to stop and then to actually start thinking about what I should do, and actually is a little hard for the conditioned soul. Tries to search his memory, what should I do? And there's nothing there to tell him. So it's frustrating. But at least one is trying to use one's intelligence. And then one may be more interested in actually investigating. For that reason, we're given books, because our memory is not so keen. And therefore, if we actually start searching in the books, at least, or inquire from others who know the books, what I should be doing, then we may come up with an answer that may actually help us control our mind and senses and engage them in a positive way, in something productive. That will elevate my consciousness instead of bring me down to the lower species of life. Nowadays people think, well, what should I do? And they'll get so much advice, how to make money, how to become famous, how to get so many hits on your Facebook page, how to become win friends and influence people. That's what people think they're supposed to be doing. And they take instruction to do it, ultimately just to gratify their senses, their false ego, or their gross and subtle senses. But actually what we're supposed to be doing is elevating our consciousness towards liberation from all anxiety, from all fear, from all disturbance. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Not trying to get ourselves into more disturbance, more agitation, more problems than we already have. So that's the human form of life, is to recognize that we're trying to end our miseries, not increase them. But people don't know that. Tarashaya Bahir Arthamani. They don't know there's a God. They don't know there's someone controlling here. They don't know they're responsible according to the laws of karma for whatever they're doing. Oh, they think the only people watching them is the, what is that called, NSA or something? They're following us on Facebook, you know, on YouTube, whatever you click, and they register and they show you more things similar to it. So they think people are watching us. They don't think there's a God watching us who knows exactly what we're doing and he's recording everything, everything we're doing and feeling and saying and thinking. Everything is being recorded. And we're going to get a result from it. Either if we act in the mode of ignorance, then we'll get an ignorant result. If we act in the mode of passion, we'll get a passionate result. If we act in the mode of goodness, we'll get a good result. And if we act in Krishna consciousness, we'll get a spiritual result. We'll elevate our consciousness, free it from the material energy. So that's our choice at every moment. Which mode of nature we want to work under, or if we want to work on the spiritual level of consciousness. And therefore utilize our body, mind, and words according to Krishna's instructions. That's our free will. One will bring us out of material nature, and the other will give us either a better material experience or a worse material experience or the same old experience that we already have. That's what we have to choose, what we want. But Bhagavatam obviously wants us to choose something spiritual, and therefore is emphasizing that we will get a reaction. We're supposed to become a little fearful of that. Not that, as I said, one lady in the school was saying, after Prabhupada explained this philosophy, that you say if I act like a dog, then I'm going to become a dog. But I want you to know, Swamiji, that I don't mind if I become a dog. I want to become a dog. Woof. So Prabhupada said, you have my blessings. But what kind of blessings is that? Is that the blessings we want? Become like a dog? Or a frog? You think, oh, I'm lucky I became a dog. But no, my God, I became a frog. I didn't want to become a frog. I wanted to become a dog. And now now I have a big tongue, which I used to show to everyone, but now my tongue is even longer. So I don't have to do anything. I just stick it out and I grab the flies that are passing by. Is that what we want? So we should become a little fearful that this is not what we want, and this we want to avoid it, and therefore we have to become more and more dependent upon Krishna and his instructions, and therefore see that we're becoming elevated. Otherwise, if we become a little bit inattentive, then we might get ourselves into more trouble than we bargained for. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions?
Teaching, and I was wondering, because I just looked at that same verse before the class, so it came to my mind that I would look at this verse 7:9:45. Certain miseries don't come if you tolerate, but then is the, I'm not really sure if I can question properly. Would you give some advice on how to tolerate the itching or sort of this sense? Because in life sometimes there are these situations that intelligence says no, but then maybe that would be a better situation and that would allow certain possibilities and opportunities to maybe forget that, better to tolerate.
Well, we have to keep ourselves engaged in devotional service. The Prabhupada writes, one should organize his life that throughout the 24 hours a day cannot help but think about Krishna. So we have to make sure we keep engaged and avoid things that were going to distract us. Otherwise, it doesn't happen all at once. Generally speaking, there's a whole lot of things that we can do to and to inspire us not to be in Krishna consciousness, of which the primary one is offenses against devotees, which doesn't allow us to chant the holy name with feeling. And when that happens, then we have to get some happiness somewhere. So we start thinking about maybe this will bring me at least some happiness that I'm longing for. So we have to see how to do devotional service in such a way is that it becomes more and more inspiring, especially the chanting of the holy name. So we consider the 10 offenses and try to avoid them, then we'll have a clearer run towards Krishna consciousness. Anything else? Yes.
Krishna, question from Bhakti Yoga Tibur. I heard that matter and spirit are both spirit. If so, then what is the difference between the two?
Well, everything is Krishna's energy. But when we're covered by illusion in the form of lust or anger or greed or illusion or madness or envy, then to us it appears to be material. Just like prasadam is always prasadam, but if you put a glove on your tongue and you eat it, you won't taste it as it actually is. So when we're covered by the material nature, things appear to us to be material, even though they're actually spiritual. Anything else? Yes.
You were speaking about results in tamas, rajas, sattva, and sugar sattva. So can you explain more so we can be aware? What are the results in sattva? What is the results in transcendental? So that we can maybe evaluate and understand it better.
Well, you should read the 14th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. You know, like it says, Sattatra Sadve Namalabhat Prakashi Kama Namayam Sukha Sangena Bhangandi Jnana Sangena Chagnaga. The results in the mode of goodness is knowledge and a kind of material happiness or release from material misery. Tatra Sadve Namalabhat. The mode of goodness being purer than the others is purifying and frees from all material attachment. Those in that mode develop knowledge and become conditioned by a sense of happiness. Raja Rapnika Vidi Trishna Sangha Smudbhavan Tanvivanidhi Kondiya Karma Sangha Dehina. Those in the mode of passion, they become involved in material fruitive activities for sense gratification. Raja Rapnika Vidi Trishna Hankering Sangha Smudbhavan for material happiness, for material sense gratification. Raja Rapnika Vidi Trishna Sangha Smudbhavan Tanvivanidhi Kondiya Karma Sangha. They become bound to material fruitive activities for hankering after sense gratification. And tamas tragana jambidi mohanam sarvadeyinam pramada lasinidra vistani banati parata. The mode of ignorance being the lowest, tamas tragana jambidi, puts one into complete illusion. Those in that mode become generally three qualities, mad, illusion, and foolish. Three things. We become detached from material sense gratification. We see everyone and everything in relationship to Krishna. And we feel a growing sense of love for everyone and everything. Anything else? Khala Grandharashimad Bhagavatam Kijai.